Craig Bolanos joins us right now, the co-founder and CEO of Wealth Management Group. Invest with WMG.com is Craig's website. Hey, Craig, I'm ready to ask you a question. I'm moving the line. Are you ready?
Yeah. Is it about my backhand and my third shot drop in pickleball, or what are we talking about?
The Fed, I'm moving the line to 2. Are you over or under on rate cuts this year? The line is now at 2.
I am on 2. We are going to get 2. If you ask me to choose the over or the under, I'm actually going to choose the under because that election gets in the way. We get 1 in September. We're guaranteed to get 1 in December. That's it. Chalk it up. Put it in the books.
There's some buzz about July.
No, I'm sorry. It's not happening in July. I just saw a GDP print of 2.8% this morning, reminding me that the economy is still humming along. Now, I do think they should cut rates, but we're not getting one at this next meeting.
Talk to me about that 2.8. What's that all about?
Well, you know, at the end of the day, we measure an economy by its gross domestic product, and seasonally adjusted, we grew at 2.8% in the second quarter. You know, that's a pretty decent pace. Is it below where we've been? Sure it is. So when people ask me on the street or at a dinner party, is the economy doing well right now? I say, yeah, despite high interest rates and inflation, we've had strong jobs, strong wages, and sure, consumers aren't saving as much as they used to because stuff costs more, consumers are spending, but the rumors of an economic recession coming in 2024, they're just rumors. The soft landing remains intact.
It seems to really be happening, doesn't it, that soft landing?
Pinch me. Oh, my gosh. I'm living a fairy tale of Goldilocks. It's actually happening. We're in a very, very good spot. In fact, I would argue for investors, this has been an absolute dream because you have an economy that hasn't been slowing. You have the Federal Reserve on the precipice of about to start cutting interest rates. Earnings have been good. Now, granted, some of the technology earnings have disappointed, but should anybody be surprised? I mean, the bar has been set so high, you can only clear the high bar so often. Well, it is an Olympic season. I guess we'll see what happens at Paris.
If the economy had been on point for inflation over the last few years, people today could rightly say that things now cost 9% more than they did a few years ago. The point being that things always cost more, generally speaking. There's such a thing as a reduction in prices, but that's not good. If you draw the span long enough, things will always end up costing more. I wonder when the idea that things are more expensive now than they used to be isn't as meaningful as maybe it has been in the last couple of years.
You know, that's only tough because for each and every one of us as Americans listening today, we see the world through our own set of lenses. And those lenses are developed by our own set of collective experiences. It's not what we read in the paper. It's just what we've experienced in our own personal ecosystem. So I don't think there's a way to cut it. But boy, isn't it interesting how perspective differs from individual to individual and how it differs depending on the length of time through which we're doing the measurement.
And I couldn't argue with you on that at all. Of course, everybody has their own personal experience, and that's the filter through which they view the world. But then if you were going to try and enact policies that made the world better for more people, would you order up a drastic change by the Fed or by the federal government in some way? Or are we right now at a point where maybe we should be on all of these metrics?
I think that we're at a point where we should be on all these metrics because while I'm incredibly disappointed that the Fed was so far beyond the curve of not recognizing how persistent, stubborn, and entrenched inflation was, you know, there's also too much fiscal spending that further increased the inflation.
Sure.
But I think today the Fed has done a good job. I can't believe I'm saying it, but I am, John. I'm defending. I think the Fed has done a good job of being patient, measured, and intentional, data-driven.
Right.
And I think if they continue to follow that data, they won't make the same mistake twice, meaning they're going to cut interest rates in advance of the slowdown that's going to occur in the months ahead. Yes. And that's why we get a cut in September and a cut in December.
But not in July, I've heard here on WGN Radio. And yet, if you did point to one mistake that somebody has made, and let's leave the Fed off the table, we heard what you said, but would it be that last batch of money that the federal government put into the economy? Was that really what has fueled a lot of these problems?
The truth is, history is eventually going to be written. History is not yet put into text. But when people look back at the CARES Act, I think people will defend the CARES Act. When people will look back at the American Rescue Plan, which was the second big package that came through, there were so many good components that uplifted Americans, but it might have actually been too much penicillin, too much antibiotics for an economy that was already starting to slowly reopen. And anytime there is more of something, that something becomes worth less. So I think it's just conjecture here, but history will ultimately look back at the ARP as being just a bit too much, even though it was founded in directional intentions.
Yeah, I get that. Dow's up again now. Dow took a beating, but it's having a good day today. What am I to make of all of this?
Well, here's what you make of last week and what you make about today's rally. I think the current pullback in stocks isn't being driven by some major macroeconomic concern. The pullback in stocks we just saw has been driven by a correction in an overextended tech sector that had some disappointing earnings. But at the end of the day, this is not an opportunity to make people say, oh my gosh, I got to do a bunch of de-risking, because as long as this statement remains true, John, if economic growth is stable, if the Fed is about to cut rates, and we have validation that inflation is declining, yeah, we are in a good spot. Everyone should continue to invest and just rebalance according to their financial plan.
Yeah, I was going to ask you where you think maybe we will be through the election. Cogitate on that for a minute. Craig Bolanos, co-founder and CEO at Wealth Management Corporation, or Group rather, is with us. The website is investwithwmg.com. So what do you think about the markets through the election? Just in general, how are you anticipating them evolving the rest of the year?
Well, all I can say is history is going to be my guide, because it's the only guide that I have, John. And 40 years of election data tells me that when we have the big one, and November's the big one, August, September, and October are chock full of VIX. That means volatility. Volatility is not bad. It just means I buckled my seatbelt. So I expect over the next 90 days, there's going to be a lot of pops. There's going to be a lot of drops. But I believe once the ballots are counted, as long as we don't have to send the election to SCOTUS, the Supreme Court, meaning we have clear and definitive winners, this market will firm and rally going into the end of the year.
Yeah, I don't want to think about the Supreme Court deciding this one. I expect it will be close, especially with Kamala Harris possibly at the top of the Democratic ticket. It seems to be getting closer. Terry Savage yesterday had a statistic that said over the last almost 100 years, if in the last 3 months before the election, the market trends up, it's either up or down over the last 3 months, then the incumbent wins if it's up and the incumbent loses if it's down, with hardly any exception. I still don't know if the sample size, because we only have elections every 4 years and there's a bunch of anomalies like a pandemic year, etc. I don't know if the sample size is sufficiently large for us to put a lot of stock in that, but I'm not the expert. What do you think about that 3 month trend?
You know, it makes sense to me, but so many Americans aren't even invested. And I think it actually comes down to something simpler, which is, you know, there's a gentleman, his name is James Carville, and what was he famous for saying?
It's quote, the economy.
It's the economy, stupid. And if the stock market is a reflection of the economy, then yes, I assume that would go ahead and play out and hold water. And I'm never going to disagree against Terry Savage. So I think it probably does hold some weight.
What do you think about some of the companies or sectors right now? Ford had a bad report. Tesla's down a lot. What's going on there?
Well, I mean, clearly you and I have talked about Tesla before on this business launch, and we've learned that there's been this pushback from consumers about the viability of EV. I mean, clearly hybrid is the solution to cross us over this path as we get away from fossil fuels, and Tesla's just going to have to do a better job navigating it, as are the other companies. As far as Ford and others go, it comes back to what you and I have said on a couple of occasions. People no longer have the money in the bank. People have less money going into their savings. More of their money is being spent on staples. That's food, medicine, different things. That's less money to spend discretionary. People aren't volunteering to go ahead and get a new car, especially when no one's getting 0% financing. Yeah. So it's just this point in time. It's not an indication of gloom and doom. It's just the reality of where we sit in July of 24.
What's your crystal ball say about AI in general? Do you think that we have put too much stock in it, that AI is going to be there, but while it has lifted the market in a handful of companies the last year or two, maybe we have overvalued or estimated its worth? What do you think about that?
It hasn't been overestimated. I think AI is so incredibly transformative that once it starts being deployed properly through proper adoption, yeah, it is going to be accretive to corporate profits. I think, though, it's so incredibly transformative because AI is going to transform society as we know it. The cell phone did, the computer did, the internet did, and AI is just the next iteration. And I liken something that I've talked about before. Remember the gold rush back in the 1800s, John?
No.
The gold rush?
No.
It was the companies that sold the pyxes and the axes and the wheelbarrows who made all the money. That's somewhat analogous for the Fab Five, right? The companies that are powering AI. Are we putting too much stock in their share prices? Maybe. But your question was about AI, and is it real, and is it transformational, and will it be accretive to earnings long-term? Well, the long answer and the short answer to both of those questions is yes.
Okay. Anything else? I got about 18 seconds. You want us to know, Craig?
I think people should just this. Don't get tripped up on if this person wins or that person loses. It's good or bad for your portfolio. Make a plan, stick to your plan, fund your plan, and that's how everybody gets retired and stays retired.
Craig Bolanos joins us frequently on the Wintrust Business Lunch, the co-founder and CEO at Wealth Management Group. Thank you, Craig.
Great to be with you, John.